The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie is on assignment again this week. Very busy guy. So filling in again is the great sports writer, award-winning sports writer for the Burlington Free Press, Austin Danforth. Thanks for coming back, buddy.
And he's awake.
And you are awake. And you are. And before we go into what's happening today, let's give our boy Aaron Wells, our producer over here, a big shout out. That's his first Sports Center he did live. No, you know, no taping it before, so everything's perfect. You went right in there. You attacked it. You were bold. You were confident. Don't you feel better about yourself now?
I do. It's a rush. I put on my game face. I got in there, and I was clutch.
And you were. You got the job done. I've been busting on you for weeks now, saying, knock this taping stuff off, man. It's okay if you make some mistakes. I mean, look who's hosting the show here. I'm Mr. Mistake, Austin.
Varsity players miss shots, too.
Of course they do. But you didn't miss one there, pal. Nice job with that. So congratulations. So my expectation now, as the show goes forward, is that there's no more of these tape sports centers. Okay? Is that a deal?
It's a deal.
All right. Sounds really good. Let me just say something to you, pal.
Okay.
I'm proud of you. Now, I've bragged about 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672. I am proud. Let me get this stuff out first. Hold on.
Okay.
Or if you don't want to call us and you want to text us, because that's what the kids do nowadays is they text. Actually, kids don't even text anymore. I think they do things like they Instagram or they tweet. I've started tweeting and I've started Instagramming, for the record. I've sent like maybe one Instagram because I can't figure it out. And I've sent a few tweets because that's what you're supposed to do when you host radio shows, but nobody cares because nobody listens to me or follows me. But you can definitely text us to the Town Fair Tire text line. Say that three times fast.
Town Fair Tire text line.
And there you go.
The shortest tongue twister is Toy Boat.
Toy Boat, you're absolutely right. The thing about the Town Fair Tire piece is I love the sound. Town Fair Tire. Bink. I just love that. So anyway, you can text us to the Town Fair Tire text line at the same phone number, 802-655-6672. So you can call us at 655-6672 or text us to the same number. I'm so proud of you, okay? I brag about your ability as a sports writer, and I'm not just sputtering you up because, you know, soccer season's coming in the fall and I want some good pub. What I'm saying is you wrote an unbelievable article. You've written a lot of great articles over your career, Austin, and I'm not – let's get serious now. You're a very talented guy. We're blessed to have you and Alex in this community because I think you guys are great sports minds and you do a great job for the Free Press and for all high school sports around here. But what you did this week for Storm Rushford and the CVU baseball team is spectacular, and I want to talk about that right now.
Thank you. That's really, really flattering. It's a little. I was walking here today. I'm thinking I was going to ask if I blush when you still say nice things about me because I think I don't, but I think I am now.
So. Well, I have to tell you if you haven't read it yet, what day did it go in?
It's in today's paper.
Oh,
actually.
It's in today's paper. Okay, because I read it yesterday
it was online yesterday.
Okay, that's when I read it. So get the Free Press today and read Austin's article. Let's talk a little bit about Storm and what's going on with him.
Yeah, It's funny like that I did a lot of the reporting for this story on Thursday, May 17th, which was exactly 10 months after Storm Rushford found out he had leukemia.
Right.
Storm is now a sophomore, 16 years old for CVU, made the varsity as a freshman. He'd been on the SD Ireland Legion team as after his eighth grade year. So last year was his second year on the Legion team. That never happens.
Right.
And it all started, I guess, 2 weeks before July 17th last year. He's going through warm-ups, catches a ball in the face, sort of blindsided him. Spends a week of bed rest after going to the hospital, comes back, and he's not the same. And he actually threw a game a week before he found out he had leukemia.
My goodness.
Was a complete game. You know, I think he was perfect through 4 or 5 down in Saratoga. But after that, it was a decline, and he'd try to get down to first base, and he'd be laboring. He'd try to get to second base, you know, to play shortstop. And by the time he ran out from the dugout to second base, he'd be hunched over, you know, panting, hands on his legs, you know.
Yeah.
Can't get air. And turns out he had leukemia. And he's a kid that he was on the CVU varsity volleyball team as a freshman.
Incredible athlete.
Yeah, very gifted athlete.
And gifted baseball player.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about an absolute stud baseball player.
Highly, highly rated kid in his age group at shortstop and pitcher. And that all, you know, became questionable. And I asked if he, you know, as this progressed, if he was thinking about baseball season, thinking about days like this past Thursday. And he said no. And it seemed very matter of fact. Like, once he realized how serious it was, he didn't start thinking about baseball as the driver you might think it would be.
Right.
He was very focused day to day, week to week, you know, trying to get himself better. And even as little as 2 months ago, early March, a period that apparently was referred to as delayed intensification, chemotherapy treatment. So like the treatments had been getting more and more severe over the 6-7 months before that. And this was delayed intensification. And apparently he had a line. He said, well, you can do that you can call it that if you want to be an ass. but he made up his own name, called it Rainbow Sparkle Party.
Okay.
Shortly after that, he caught pneumonia because his immune system was so weakened. He didn't have the white blood cells to show that he had pneumonia for almost a week. Then he was in the hospital with a fever. His lungs collapsed, and it was as dark as any point he'd had. And this is in a several month stretch where he'd had anaphylactic shock time and again.
Right.
He had experienced neurotoxic strokes.
And he had some paralysis.
The paralysis resulted from having a neurotoxic stroke reacting to chemotherapy treatments. So think 2 months ago, he's, you know, in a bed for 3 weeks. He gets out. He's walking with a cane. A week ago, he threw 4 innings in a JV baseball game.
Unbelievable.
A rehab start. And he was near perfect. Got a hit. Mobility is still an issue, but he's coming back. And you know, he's getting himself back. And he's not like the thing with leukemia. It's, you know, he's 10 months in to a 3 or 4 year process.
You know, I have to say, you know, if anybody that is struggling with anything in their life, and you know, you have people that have these, even me, you know, you wake up and you're frustrated with your job, or you're frustrated with work, or you're frustrated because you're not getting from point A to point B fast enough. If you're looking for a motivation and you're looking for someone to believe in, or look at someone that has proven that they have the work ethic, the belief, and the faith to get themselves back, it's this young man.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a more unbelievable role model for any young person, any young athlete, any adult that's going through what they look at in life. And you look at this kid, 3 months ago, he's bedridden, doesn't know if he's going to, you know, you don't know what the future is like. You're just hoping to get from day to day. And now he's back playing with his team and playing at an almost dominant level again.
He's getting there.
I mean, he's building himself back up to a position where he's going to be back. And I can't say enough about it, Austin. It's just an unbelievable article. And do yourself a favor and read it. I have kind of a personal connection with him because he and his family I've known since he was a little boy, because they would come to Ramonto's all the time.
Yeah, he lives in Williston.
Yeah. And we have a Storm Pizza there because when he was a young kid, he didn't like the normal stuff, so we had to make them with cheddar cheese. I have a sticker of it. When they call, when they call about the Storm Pizza, we have the Storm Pizza. So I've known him since he was a little boy. He's an amazing kid. He is a inspirational leader, I think, for anybody that that doesn't even know him, read the article, and let's root him on. And you know, I'm just proud of, and the CVU community obviously is rallied around him.
Thursday was the Red Hawks strikeout cancer game. They were playing Essex. Essex donated $450 of their own to Storm and his family.
That's beautiful.
CVU raised $6,500 to give to their teammates' family. And in talking with Tim Albertson, the CVU coach, at one point he said Storm is the strongest person I know. And he's such a well-liked kid, such a good kid.
He is.
While he was in the hospital, Tim's little daughters, I think they were four and two or 5 and 3 at the time, they wanted to know when they could go see Storm.
That's amazing.
They, you know, it was something.
My sister's a friend of his, and she was visiting like several times a week when he was in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heart-wrenching story, and you want this to end with the silver. You want this to end with this terrible disease being cured. If there's a person that's going to overcome this, it's Storm, in my opinion. I mean, just what he's done in a matter of months, Austin, I mean, just speaks so much to the young man.
And I even got a note from someone on Twitter yesterday thanking me for the story about Storm and wanted me to tell Storm and his family that this guy's family was hit with the same sickness. And, you know, that guy's now 49 years old.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome to hear. That's awesome to hear. Well, listen, if there's a person that's going to overtake this, it's going to be Storm. Obviously, he's got the will, and he's got the faith, and he's got the work ethic, and he's got the passion.
The mentality.
The mentality. That's actually right. That's a perfect word for it.
Everybody I talked to said, you know, if it was me, you know, when I was a teen or teenagers where, you know, you think about the moody teenage boy who, you know.
Sure.
That's everybody, but it's not Storm.
It isn't. And I'm going to tell you what, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because I know Storm's parents, and they're unbelievable people. I mean,
very impressive.
They're just very impressive. They are great parents. They have such love for Storm, and they've obviously instilled some amazing mentality in him, great mindset for him to be able to fight through these things at such a young age. I mean, nobody should ever have to deal with these types of situations, but this is the type of kid that's just dealing, and he's working. It's a special, special story.
Yeah, and the cool thing with CVU. They got one loss so far. I think they're 11-1 now, maybe 12-1.
Big game today, right? They're in St. Johnsbury today.
I think is North Country.
North Country today, somewhere up there.
There's the thought that maybe Storm can get in today too.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
But talking with Tim Albertson, the coach, he's said, you know, this really puts everything in perspective. But the cool thing about his group is he's never had to say the word perspective once. Like they all get it, and you watch them, you know, with Storm in practice and at games, and you know he's their guy.
Well, I don't. How can you not? I mean, how can you be around a kid like Storm and not be motivated to be the best that you can be, to work as hard as you can? I mean, we live in a society now that it's all about winning and losing, and you're based on your success by if you've won championships or not, or how many games you win. When the reality is, it's all about putting yourself in the best position every day to be successful. And there's no question that Storm has done that. This young man has put himself in a position from day one, battling this terrible disease with everything he's dealt with, to put himself in a position where he could be on the field again today. And there's not a better story out there. So we are all Storm strong here at 101.3 ESPN, and I can probably speak for all of our listeners, anyone hearing us right now, we're all out there for you, Storm, rooting for you. And we're rooting for you to get back on the field today.
And if they haven't caught the story yet, it's in today's Burlington Free Press on newsstands, or it's online, you know, whenever you want it.
Yeah, check it out. Austin, great, great writing. Unbelievable. We have some show today, a next segment coming up next after our break. We're going to talk to Kyle Kelly. This is exciting for us. So Kyle Kelly, just so you understand, a Vermont native from Rutland, went to Oregon, worked with the University of Oregon football team for years, and is now the assistant football operations. He's an assistant for football operations for the Cleveland Browns. Interesting few weeks here for the month for the Cleveland Browns. A very highly anticipated draft. Highly anticipated draft. And some
hotly debated.
Yeah, very controversial. And then the news comes out this week that they've got that HBO has nominated them or picked them to be the Hard Knocks team. So you're going to be able to follow them. Well, Kyle Kelly's going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to believe if you're an assistant football op in football ops, you're going to be on TV.
Oh, at least a couple times.
I'd at least make sure you're on TV. We'll talk to Kyle about that and talk about Baker Mayfield now, part of the Cleveland organization. I think they just had their rookie minicamp, so that's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him. Later on at about 10:40, we're going to talk to the NBA editor for the Sporting News, Jordan Greer. Hey, I mean, let's just put it out there. You said I'm duct taped to my prediction, right?
you're looking pretty good,
man.
I
said Celtics in 5, and right now the Celtics are up 2-0. Interesting series, I think, with Cleveland. It'll be fun to get Jordan's perspective. I don't think Boston played very well at all in Game 2, but they still won. I think, obviously LeBron is being LeBron, but the rest of that Cleveland team is struggling, but it's a must-win game. And that's tomorrow night?
Tonight.
Oh, it's tonight.
Yeah.
Must-win game tonight. Are we sure it's tonight? Yes. No, it's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night?
Yeah,
it's
tomorrow
tonight.
Night.
Yeah, it's tonight.
Saturday.
Oh, today's Saturday, not Friday. Of course. Well, today's Saturday, not Friday.
I was talking with friends last night who wanted to watch the Celtics game tonight at 8:30. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I thought it
Caps play at 8:30 tonight,
yeah.
too.
We'll get to that as well. But listen, so that's very going to be interesting. And the Golden State-Houston series is also very interesting. Steph Curry has not played very good basketball. Golden State seems to be a little bit like, oh, my God, what's happening? But I just can't imagine Houston beating them. When they're all together on that floor, I just feel like Golden State's a team. But you got to give Houston a lot of credit. They came back and won a must-win game, too.
Yeah, after getting worked in game one. That
really
was,
did.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then we're going to talk some baseball. We're going to talk hockey. We're going to talk hockey because last time I talked to you, you were high-flying on your Caps.
Oh, yeah.
2-0, looking good. And now they're being the Caps again. But I do want to talk to you about that. We are Sports Saturday, guys. 655-6672 is the number to call to join the conversation. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going the NFL direction. We're talking Cleveland Browns with assistant football operations, Kyle Kelly. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Bernie Siplicki is out this week.
And Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
You know, man, I mean, watching Aaron just get into this over here is like, dude, we gotta have a TV put in here so people can watch you dance around when you start playing music coming back.
It's like he's possessed by the bumper music.
You know, I can't believe, you know, we were talking off air about this Yanni and Laurel thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you haven't heard it yet.
No.
I mean, for someone that's so socially into this, like you are like, you're Mr. News. You're like Mr., you know, you're right in it. You haven't heard this yet?
So I saw it and I was like, oh, it's another one of those black dress So I didn't even bother with it, but
oh
I saw. I'm familiar with the concept.
Later in the show, we're gonna see what you hear because you haven't done it yet. So we'll do it live here on the show. Next hour because right now we're too full. We'll do it next hour. I know what I hear, and we'll see what you hear. I can't believe that anyone hears what I hear. Yanni. I don't know how anyone gets Laurel out of Yanni. Crazy. All right, we'll talk about that later. Hey, listen, we love the NFL. Everybody loves the NFL. And everybody loves to seem to like be down on the Cleveland Browns, but not me. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to the playoffs this year. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm putting it out there. I'm writing it down. I'm duct taping myself again to this tree that you talk about.
That's the heat spewing out of Take Mountain right there.
I am telling you right now, and who better to talk to about this on the TikTok Viewers Guest Line here on Sports Saturday than our friend Kyle Kelly, assistant of football operations for the Cleveland Browns and Vermont native. Good morning, Kyle Kelly.
Good morning. I like to start here. It's going well.
I'm telling you right now. I'm all in with you guys. I think you're going to be in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now. I'm just excited.
I can see his browser's open. He's looking for brown-colored alternate jerseys for the Colchester girls soccer team.
I'm working on that right now, Kyle. Kyle, listen, I have to tell you, about 3-4 weeks ago, I was in Jamaica. Okay, I was there for the draft. And I went, in order for me to watch the draft, see what my beloved New York Giants were going to do with the second pick, I walked to the sports bar, and the bar is packed with Cleveland Brown fans. And I mean, like, Cleveland Brown fans, like, the T-shirts, the dog masks. There's face paint in Jamaica. They're going crazy for this draft, and they can't wait for the draft. And then all of a sudden, the first pick is Baker Mayfield, and people were just kind of, like, in shock a little bit. So let's talk first about that, Kyle. Baker Mayfield, the number one pick in the draft. I mean, going into this thing, say 3-4 months ago, he was probably thought of as 5-6-7, I think, but people are talking, but he jumps to number one, and the Browns take him. Why do you think the Browns, your organization, chose Baker Mayfield as number one pick?
Well, that's who, I mean, obviously I had no say in it, so don't take this the wrong way. That's who right. I was hoping for. When all my friends kind of we talk around the building and stuff, you get people's opinions. That's who I was hoping to get. I mean, I think you compare it just to last year with Deshaun Watson. I think people get a little too caught up in the measurables and different things and kind of get away from the stuff that actually matters, which is winning games, the numbers you put up, leading a team, getting players to follow you, executing in the red zone, you know, stuff like that. I mean, low interception rate, high touchdown rate. I think when you actually look at the simple stuff, when it actually comes down to football, I think it was pretty clear in a way he was the best quarterback last year. No disrespect to the other guys. I think you watch him compared to Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, some of the other guys that were talked about. I think a lot of the stuff he did stands up a lot higher than theirs.
One of the arguments that people will make that have made about this is that, you know, when you got a guy like Saquon Barkley that's sitting right there that they say is a, you know, once in a lifetime athlete, and you look at a Baker Mayfield, and there was kind of some expectation he still would have been there for you with the fourth pick. What do you tell a fan that says, why didn't you just take Saquon Barkley first? It would have been a quarterback would have been there for you at four.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. One, the quarterback just being the biggest difference maker on the team. Until you have that, you're not going to do much. I believe it's if you don't have a quarterback in the top half of the NFL, you need the top three defense, maybe the top five defense, just to make the playoffs, let alone succeed in the playoffs. So if you don't have a quarterback leading you down the field, that running back really doesn't matter too much because they'll just load the box and you're in trouble. So along with that, you look at John Dorsey, who he's picked with running backs. I mean, just Kareem Hunt last year. I think running back's a position where you can find some value later in the draft. And it's also a position where you play a few guys. You'll have a third down back who can catch. You have a back who can block. And then you have kind of the guy to grind it out. I think we have that. If you look at our running backs now, you have Carlos Hyde, kind of the bull. Nick Chubb out of Georgia, kind of an all-around guy. And then Duke Johnson, a great receiving back. So I think Saquon Barkley, obviously the best running back in the draft, but you break it down into a few different areas, and I think it became a little bit simpler.
So basically what you're saying is Cleveland really believed that they wanted Baker so bad that they weren't even willing to take a chance that he was going to get drafted before him. I mean, that's basically what you're saying, right? I mean, he was the guy that they wanted. They weren't thinking, okay, if you know, for example, I guess my thought process was going into this, all the experts, and trust me, you guys know more about this than I do or anybody else that talks about this. But, you know, Baker Mayfield was you know Sam Darnold, whatever how you pronounce it.
Darnold, whatever.
Okay, I'm sorry. He's with the Jets now, but, you know, he potentially could have been there. Josh Allen was out there. So, I mean, you know, to me, the Browns were so in with Baker Mayfield that they said, look, we have to draft this guy. This is the guy that we want to lead our franchise going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's the funny thing about some of the media is, leading up to this draft, there was so much criticism. The Browns got to take their QB number one.
Right.
They've passed on QBs in the past. They've traded down. They've missed on guys. Whether it was Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, I mean, all the way back for 15 years, they bring up guys that the Browns passed on. And now our guy, we take him number one, and then it's kind of like, oh, they could have waited until four. So
right.
I think it's – you kind of see what happens when you pass on the guy that you want to take. He ends up being gone, and then – it can definitely hurt you long run. So I think clearly we got our guy. The GM saw who it was, and I don't think wanted to risk not getting him.
Kyle, obviously a winless season last year, but what was the atmosphere? What was the the attitude like on the team heading into this spring?
I think really optimistic. Last year it was weird. I mean, until that week 17 ended, it really didn't feel like we were defeated. I mean, we had a pretty tough schedule. We played a lot of teams well. Starting week one, we lost to the Steelers. I think it was by 3 points. And then Packers was a close one. Titans, a playoff team we went to OT with. So while we didn't have a win, it still felt like a competitive season. No one was really down. And then you go into the offseason and you start off with a boom. You get Tyrod Taylor. You get Jarvis Landry. You get Carlos Hyde. Revamped our entire defensive backfield. TJ Carey, Demaryius Randall, Terrence Mitchell. So John Dorsey came in. He was aggressive right away. We got a ton of areas that we needed. We knew we had the number one and four pick in the draft. We had Myles Garrett last year, David Njoku, Jabril Peppers. So five picks in the top two rounds the past 2 years. I think we definitely were optimistic and looking forward.
And is the plan going to be to start with Tyrod Taylor and let Baker kind of just get a feel for what's happening? Or do you? I mean, I can remember when Eli Manning joined the Giants, they had Kurt Warner as the quarterback, and I think the Giants started their season out 4-2 or 5-2, and that's when Coughlin made the switch, and the Giants ended up, I think they lost every game but the last one that season and didn't go to the playoffs. Do you expect Tyrod to be the starter and have Baker kind of do like an Aaron Rodgers did with Brett Favre, or do you expect Tyrod to kind of start this thing and Baker will eventually take this thing over by the end of the season?
Yeah, Coach Jackson said it's Tyrod's job, so I definitely believe him. I think that's where it's going to go. He's been working harder than anybody I've ever seen. First guy in the building, last guy out type of thing, as cliche as that is. But he's been amazing. I'm pretty excited to have him. And another guy, low turnover rate, and with a strong defense that I think we have, I think he fits really well.
I'm a Michigan guy, and I was sad to see Jabril Peppers not go to the Patriots, but not that that would have happened. What can we expect from him this year?
Greg Williams is an unbelievable defensive coordinator, really creative guy. So I think he's going to be all over. He's really good in the box. He can obviously play safety. So he's one of those really versatile guys that, you need in the NFL today with how diverse offenses are. The guy who can cover tight ends but also come up in the box, stop the run, and then also athletic enough to cover receivers. So I think he's going to play a pretty versatile role, and it should be a really strong season for him.
All right, Kyle, listen, we got a few minutes left here, but we got to talk about Hard Knocks. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, you must be fired up about that.
A little mixed. I think it's definitely going to add to the workload. It's going to be tough having 75 people you don't really know in the building. So we'll see how it goes.
How does it work exactly? I mean, what, I mean, do you have any idea how this is going to go? How does it work for you?
We're still kind of figuring that out. They travel on the team plane. They're going to stay in the team hotel. I think there's quite a few of them. I think 75. So they kind of get unlimited access, which is kind of tough. But it'll be interesting. I'll have to make sure I keep my hair cut every day.
I was going to say, a lot of
FaceTime. How's the grooming, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of FaceTime for you, right? That's kind of exciting, right? You're gonna wear some MSJ gear when you're down. You know, get a little plug for the your old hometown.
yeah, we'll see. I stick with the Raider Red now, but
yeah, right. Yeah, we'll see. So real quick before we get what will your job be with this Hard Knocks? As you being assistant of football operations, I can imagine you're gonna have a lot on your plate.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I honestly don't even know. I think it's gonna be one of those things where, as they come in and they need stuff, it's kind of as we find out. What we have to do. We know, I mean, travel and lodging and stuff like that for them, but a lot of what we do is with the players and coaches, so I'm sure we'll have to be doing some stuff there, making sure everybody kind of has what they need, and that's going to be interesting for sure. Luckily, we have like 5 or 6 summer interns coming in, so that should be helping us out quite a bit.
Since it's on HBO, are you going to, like, if you end up in a scene, are you going to swear more than normal just to get on?
Just to
exploit the chance?
You got to give your mom a heads up, though, if you're going to do that.
I was going to say my mom's watching. I think I'll go the other way and try to be a little cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that's exactly right. You're very, very smart. Now, listen, you are from Rutland. I mean, are you finding now that maybe some of the Rutland residents, you're starting to get a few Cleveland Browns fans now down in town?
I hope so. I know my family is. That's all I know for sure. I think
right.
I got a few friends I'm starting to convince. It took a year or two. I think once Jarvis Landry came over, I earned a couple friends in my group chat back home. So I just got to send him some jerseys and stuff to keep him in it.
You got
to
keep the swag coming by. That's what happens. You got to keep giving him the jerseys and the shirts. Hey, Kyle, listen, I'm telling you right now, playoff-bound Cleveland Browns. You heard it here first on May 19th, 2018, Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. Jeff Paul, I'm putting it out there right now. You're going to be in the playoffs.
We hope so. And speaking of the playoffs, I'll be at the Cavs game either tonight or Monday. I heard your Celtics in 5 prediction. I'm sticking strong to Cavs in 6.
Now are you all Cleveland now that you're there? Like, you're just, I mean, I'm assuming you didn't grow up being a Cavs fan. You probably didn't grow up being an Indians fan. I mean, are you all Cleveland now?
Oddly enough, I was a Cavs fan growing up.
You weren't a Cavs fan growing up?
I was. I loved the Celtics when it was like the Walter McCartney days.
Yeah.
But once the Big 3 happened, I hopped over to the LeBron train, and I've been Cavs ever since.
You've been a Cav guy ever since.
It was a struggle until 8th grade, and now I've been pretty good since.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. So your boys got to win this. They got to win tonight. It's got to happen.
Yeah, we need a couple home wins here.
And you're going to be there?
I think Monday it's looking like.
Oh, you're going to Monday. All right, awesome. Kyle, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Good luck with everything. We'll talk to you again down the road, and congrats to your success, buddy. We're really proud of you.
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, Assistant of Football Operations Kyle Kelly from Rutland, Vermont originally, now with the Cleveland Browns. Interesting perspective on his Brownies.
Yeah, that was what he was saying. They were 0-16 last year, but they didn't feel like the absolute worst team.
I agree. And I do apologize for making a mistake. I thought Kyle went to MSJ. That's a big faux pas.
That is. You should know better.
He's a Raider. I should know better than that. So I apologize, but he's a Rutland Raider, not a MSJ Mountie. Could have sworn he was a Mountie.
But, yeah, I mean, the Browns, they played Cleveland twice. It combined 7 points, decided those games.
I'm telling you, they're going to the playoffs,
OT games with Green Bay in Tennessee.
I mean, they're a good football team. And the thing that makes them scary to me is that they've got a solid defense. They can play with anybody defensively. And now you bring in a guy, you know, look, Tyrod Taylor isn't Brett Favre, you know, and he's not Aaron Rodgers, but he is definitely a very capable NFL quarterback that has the ability to scramble. And when you have an ability to scramble and make plays, when you got a good offensive line like Cleveland does, and now they have some playmakers on offense,
yeah,
this football team is going to be formidable. Now, I mean, the way you look at the AFC, I mean, how many great teams are in the AFC? Seriously.
Line starts
besides,
behind, yeah.
It's New England, yeah. and then you throw, you know, and you figure Pittsburgh, but you never know now with Roethlisberger getting a little bit older, and they at times looked a little bit inept. You just don't know. I'm telling you, this Cleveland team, don't sleep on them, pal.
Okay, I won't.
Okay,
I'm
just saying.
Can I nap on them until, like, October?
You can nap on
them.
Yeah, you take a nap, and we're not even in the season. I mean, you got bigger fish to fry right now with your Capitals anyway, so you don't be talking about that, but it'd be interesting. But, hey, great talk with Kyle Kelly. We appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk some hoops because now it's getting serious. Okay, Celtics, Cavs, 2-0 Celts. Celts heading to Cleveland tonight. You can hear all the action right here on The Zone, our sister station, The Zone, at 8 o'clock. Cavaliers down 2-0, got to win. LeBron's got to, you know, got to figure out a way to get it done. And on the other side, you got maybe the two best teams in the NBA,
yeah,
in Houston and Golden State, and they're 1-1 heading to San Francisco.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
Or Oakland, wherever they are. What do you mean didn't see it coming?
I didn't see it being 1-1.
Did you really? What did you think was going to happen?
I thought it was going to be Golden State.
Golden State. Yeah. And I totally agree with you, but Houston showed some grit. But we'll talk about that with Jordan Greer when we get back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You got to change up that remote, though. You still got Ortiz and Jeter in there. They've been out for like 9 years now.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Derek who?
Oh, stop it.
Take it easy now.
Bite your tongue.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Austin Danforth of the Free Press, award-winning sports writer for the Free Press. Austin Danforth filling in for Bernie, who is on assignment today. The big fella, 2 weeks in a row on assignment. This guy's a busy guy.
I hear this beat, and I had to cover my mouth to not
Wait a minute, you can rap that?
When it's out of my car, I'm great. Yeah.
Do you find that when you sing in the car, I do this all the time, I think I'm really good. Do you think you're really good in the car? And then you turn the music off and you think, whoa. Every time.
not quite, but there are a couple songs I can just randomly.
Are you a big singer? I'm a big singer in the car. Like, I just let it go.
Depends on the mood.
Really?
Yeah.
But if you're fired up and you hear something, I've been into that drink in my hand, That's a country song. You probably don't listen to it because all you listen to is rap over there, homeboy. But I mean,
I don't listen to country.
And I don't listen to country, but I think it's something Church. His last name's Church.
Okay.
He's got this song called
I'll Take
Your Word
Head for it.
I'm telling you, you'd love it. It's a great driving song. You want to sing it? All right, we'll talk about that later. Anyway, NBA playoffs are really, really rolling now, okay? We're down to the Final Four. Celtics up 2-0 against Cleveland. Big game tonight. I can't even take you seriously.
Aaron's just over there flexing.
He is, and he's in a tank
top
today.
To the sky.
It's what's going on here.
I love my Celts, man.
We got the Cleveland Cavs having to get this thing done tonight against Boston. It's got to happen. 2-0 right now, Boston lead. On the West side, who I think are the two best teams in the NBA, Houston, the number one seed that's been really just running everybody over all season, has now met what I think is the best team, Golden State. But Houston with a huge win, blowout win in game two to get themselves even, Austin.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
As I said last segment, I didn't see that win coming there.
Well, I'll tell you who probably did see it coming because he knows all about the NBA. His NBA editor for the Sporting News, Jordan Greer, who joins us now on the TikTok Jurist guest line. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'll just go ahead and lie to you and say that I've seen every playoff result coming this season.
Well, let me just say this, okay? Last week, I was sitting on this exact chair, and I predicted a 4-1 Celtic win. I'm not a Celtic fan. I'm not some Celtic homer. I don't care about the Celtics. I don't root for the Celtics, but I picked a 4-1 Celtic win. And last week, Austin, my co-host here, made fun of me the whole hour that after I said
it. I almost laughed him out of the studio.
See, Jordan, so far I look pretty good in this, don't I?
Yeah, you're looking pretty smart right about now. I think there's a distinct possibility, but it's tough to go against LeBron. So I get the initial feeling to laugh that off and think that this team isn't ready to do it. But man, they've looked outstanding in this playoff run.
They really have. And again, I don't know. Again, we all know the talent that LeBron James is, and we all understand he's a once in a generation type player. But why do we keep thinking that this Cleveland Cavalier team can actually win or make this series, competitive against a team that really is all about team in the Boston Celtics?
I really think a huge part of it is just the LeBron factor itself of, until somebody actually does it, we're not going to believe it. But this really is a complete team, and the more and more you watch them against the Celtics, they look like the better team. They look deeper. They look like they have more players at positions of strength, and you're really just banking on LeBron to carry this team. And also, I think some of us, with how the Raptors series went, we saw that, right. And you think that, okay, the Cavs are, you know, they're getting back on that roll, they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but this is a much different Celtics team. They're better coached, they execute well, and they just have better players across the board. I mean, once you get beyond LeBron, and you're, if you would just rank the players in the series in that 2-7 or 2-8 range, I mean, you mix Kevin Love in there, but it's all Celtics players. And the way that Brad Stevens has coached and the way that these young guys have developed so quickly under this playoff microscope, which I think is the most impressive part of their run, with guys like Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, who looks like he's been in the league for 6 seasons, even though he's a rookie. They've just been terrific, and it's been a total team effort. And, you know, even LeBron, like we saw in game two, you can put up a, you know, 41-12-10 triple-double, and the Celtics still end up winning by double digits. So this is a really good team. It's one of the true tests LeBron has faced in this run, where he's dominated the East all these seasons, and they're looking like they're going to win the series right now. So game three is going to be extremely interesting.
I think going into this playoff, and Austin and I talked about this last week, Jordan, I think there was a lot of talk going in that the East was finally coming back. You know, when you looked at Cleveland and Boston, you knew those two teams, Robbie, with LeBron, were going to be there. But now you had Toronto and you had Indiana that looked like they were a strong team. Then you looked at Philadelphia, who had won a zillion games in a row going into this. You know, what was their record going into the playoffs? It was insane. They had won a bunch of games in a row.
They closed like crazy.
Yeah, insane. So you looked at all these teams and thought, wow, here comes the East. And then you watched kind of what Boston did to Philly, and then you kind of watched what Cleveland was able to do with Indiana and Toronto. And is the East – I think the East is coming, but it's still just not – it's not ready to compete with the West yet, correct?
No, I don't think we're quite at that point. And it actually is funny that you say that about all these teams that were along the way, because even just the Final Four, if you had told someone before the season, it's going to be Warriors, Rockets, Celtics, Cavs, they would have been like, oh yeah, sure. But the way that we got here is definitely not the way that I think Everybody predicted, with how these rosters look at the end of the season. They probably would have said, how the heck did Jordan Clarkson get on the Cavs? But with the way that the East is changing and the landscape, you have a lot of young and up-and-coming teams. And I think particularly with the Sixers, we saw, you know, how difficult it is to jump those steps and skip, you know, to use their term, in the process. But I think they're coming along. And like you said, you got Philly, you got Boston. These teams are going to be good for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And they're going to continue progressing. But as we've seen on the West with teams like the Rockets and the Warriors, they're there now. They're competing for titles, and that's why you've seen so many people who are viewing the Western Conference Finals basically as the pre-final series, with whatever team comes out of there likely to win the whole thing.
With what the Celtics have been able to do against Cleveland the first two games, like, I'm curious, so X's and O's wise, you know, on the court, what Brad Stevens has been able to, you know, put in play that's impressed you or maybe surprised you the most so far?
I think just defensively, what they've done and not allowing LeBron to get extremely comfortable and find all of his shooters across the floor. I mean, we saw how dominant he was in game two, and that's just going to happen because you're playing one of the greatest players of all time. But whenever they have those guys on the perimeter, a Kyle Korver, a J.R. Smith, you know, George Hill, and the shooters on the perimeters, not allowing them to get going. They're basically, their guys defensively are in just great position on every possession. They're helping down, but they're rotating in recovery. And even on post-ups, like with Kevin Love, if they have a switch and there's a smaller guard on him, and they can get the ball in the air while the pass is going, they'll switch a big man and a guard as that pass is traveling to Kevin Love. And this is just the kind of execution that you don't really see game to game during the regular season. And these guys are all on a string. So, you know, LeBron can go out and he can get his numbers and have a huge game. But then you look in the box score overall for the past two games, and this team's shooting, I think, under 25% from three overall. And you got a guy like J.R. Smith who he hasn't made a three in the series yet, which that's not something you usually see through two games. I mean, Korver's 3-for-10 or 3-for-11. I just think the overall defensive effort and what they've been able to do to stifle a Cavs offense, which since LeBron has returned, has been one of the top offenses in the league every single season, that's been extremely impressive. And the Celtics have had their road woes, so we'll see if they can carry that over into Cleveland.
We're talking NBA editor for the Sporting News, Jordan Greer, here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Jordan, let's move over to the West. I mean, after Game 1, I thought it's Golden State's whole thing to lose. You know, I just felt they were the best team, and then Houston really, you know, they took a shot to the face, but they came right back. You got to give them a lot of credit. Do we expect this series to go 7 games?
I think it could trend that way. I'd like to see how Houston responds on the road, because there's always that elephant in the room of just, is Golden State just going to decide, nope, this series is over now, we're not doing this anymore. But Houston, the game plan I think itself was terrific in Game 2, and we saw the result, obviously. They're just deciding the way that they're guarding the Warriors, that if Kevin Durant is going to go off each game and he's going to hit tough mid-range jumpers and score 35 to 40 points, they're okay with that. They just don't want to let Steph and Klay go off. And we saw that in Game 2. You know, KD, he had 38 points, but he only has one assist in the series so far. So they're okay with that. As long as he's not going to drive and dish and get those three-point shooters going and you're giving up those easy-looking transitions, that's when it starts snowballing and going into 12-0, 15-0 runs, and the Warriors just run you out of the gym and you've already lost the game. And it's only the third quarter. So I think if Houston can continue with that game plan and stick to their principles, not fall into the trap of allowing those guys to get out in transition, leaving shooters open, I think we could get a 6 or 7 game series. But I'm eager to see what Steve Kerr will do in transition, and particularly with Curry, if they're able to get him going and get him some more free looks. Maybe they run that Curry-Durant pick and roll that gave the Cavs so much trouble in the finals last year. I'm curious to see, because it's going to be a little bit of a chess match with D'Antoni and Kerr as we go down the stretch here.
Jordan, we got about 30 seconds left. Real quick, Curry has not looked like Curry in this series so far. His percentage is way down, and a lot of talk is because Houston's really done a good job of making him defend. Do you expect him to turn that thing around going forward now?
Yeah, I think Golden State will change some things up offensively. Like I said, I think they're going to run a little bit more pick and roll and get him some more free looks, but he's going to have to continue to defend on that end. They're going to target him. James Harden's going to call for picks to get him as his primary defender. So maybe you see them hedge rather than switch a little bit more on the Warrior side to get him out of those matchups that are a little bit more advantageous for Houston. And, I mean, regardless of what happens, he's just going to have to defend, and he's going to have to hit some looks that we've seen him hit throughout his career. So the Warriors are going to need an MVP version of Curry, because this is one of the best teams they've faced in this run as they try to roll this thing into a real dynasty.
The Sporting News is Jordan Greer. Thanks so much for the time, pal. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Interesting perspective from a guy that knows his stuff.
Yeah. He's in tune.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's our Out in Left Field segment. You're not going to want to miss it, especially you ladies. You ladies may have an issue with this one.
My mom is going to be glued to it at the very least.
Yeah, she's probably mad at you too.
Oh, she's going to be furious.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Want to hear something weird? It's Out in Left Field on Sports Saturday, only on 101.3 ESPN.
The wrong music. That's for the other sports show we have here. All right, what do we got today out in left field?
Out in left field, the royal wedding is going to be bring your own food. Not all of the 2,000 guests invited to Windsor Grounds for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding received catering food. Instead, they had to bring their own picnic baskets. Only guests who have access to the chapel ceremony were able to receive catered fare. They do have a lot to cater for the reception and then the event, and then the evening event, and it is a lot of people on the grounds, but one would hope they do at least provide them with water, etiquette expert William Hansen said beforehand.
What's the point of going then? I mean, 2,000 people at this wedding, I can get something to eat?
That's the only reason I go to weddings.
I mean, come on.
I'm immediately curious about the gifting protocol.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's a great question. Do you have to bring a gift then?
Like, even if you're in the chapel ceremony, like, what do you get a royal couple?
You mean to tell me they don't get... So what happens? Like, the people, there's like only a certain... Like, George Clooney's probably eating. Oprah's probably eating. But I'm over here. I got invited, but I got to sit over here with my bologna sandwich that I made.
You got lawn seats, man.
Yeah, only a certain portion of the people even made it into the chapel, and anyone who didn't make it in didn't get free food.
You get invited, and you may not get in if you get invited. That's how this works for those guys? I should have done that with my wedding.
It's
insane.
That's savage.
It is.
How do you play right there?
I mean, you get invited to that wedding. Hey, think about this, right? You're at your house. You get the mail. You get, you know, you're invited to the royal wedding. You think, boy, we are going to eat. We're going to get some good cake.
Right.
Maybe there'll be a few choices. You know, you usually get a beef or a chicken or a fish, maybe a pasta. Maybe you can get like two or three. I mean, it's a royal wedding and you show up and you have to bring your own dinner.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's unlike any wedding we've ever been to.
Ridiculous. You can't have that. I just think it's crazy. If you're going to invite 2,000 people, I mean, cater it. Call 879-1000 Ramontos. I would come and help these people.
You delivered.
I would absolutely.
You deliver across the pond.
If they needed me to go bring them pizza, there's no doubt in my mind I'd hop a plane to go over, but they didn't call me. They're just going to let under... So what, like 1,000 people don't eat at this thing? All right, how's it work?
They're fitting 1,000 people into a chapel.
Well, it's probably a big chapel.
Yeah, it is probably big.
I can't imagine them being in some like little teeny chapel. I'm sure
I got to think they get at least like 600-700 people.
Easy. I'd like to know what the people that are eating, what they get to eat. I'd like to know that.
I won't go to a wedding unless I like what they're serving for free.
Oh my god, come on. You can't be like that.
Open bar,
oh,
dude.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if it is open bar.
Oh.
Because he's, you know, his name?
I got to think, Harry?
Harry. He's the wild one. Like, yeah. He's the cool one. He's the guy that's like, he's out there doing it.
I got to think the etiquette on their part is it would be uncouth to have cash at the reception,
exactly,
you know, the after party. So like, once you're there, you're not paying for a thing.
And you know, she was on, remember that show Deal or No Deal with Howie Mandel? Maybe the greatest game show ever made. I can't believe it went off
so
the air.
The new what's her title?
Meghan Markle, is that her name?
Yeah, the newest
princess Meghan.
Duchess.
The Duchess of Deal or No Deal.
The newest Duchess was in on The League for an episode.
I'm telling you.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. These are good. These are like down-to-earth people. They're like our people right here.
Also, she's very lovely.
Oh, she's beautiful. I mean, she's no Monica Paul, but, you know, she's beautiful. All right, Sports Saturday.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
You don't want to mess with people. You don't want to mess with aliens, especially if you don't know if they're nice.
And Bernie Siplicki.
We don't need
them. Maybe we're aliens and we don't even know it.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Six five five 6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation. 802-655-6672 if you want to call us, or if you want to just text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, Austin. Same number, 655-6672, 802-655-6672. I do want to get to some baseball talk. Kind of a rough week in baseball. Weather is still being a problem for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And Robinson Cano, you know? I mean,
don't you know?
Yeah, don't you know, he's been booted for, 80 games for some steroid use. Want to talk about that. But before I do, and I know this is probably so Tuesday morning, you know, we're always like 3 or 4 days late with some of these things that come on, but I do want to, I'm intrigued that you haven't heard Yanni versus Laurel.
Yeah, okay. I'm familiar with the
I'm surprised
the
that
phenomenon,
you, I mean, here's somebody, I can barely text, and I, you know, and I had to hear this, and I want to hear what I heard. So do you have... Aaron, do you have the sound for us?
I do. Do you want me to preface with the explanation, or do you want me to follow it with the explanation?
I don't care what the explanation is.
Well, let's follow.
I think it's super interesting. Okay, I'll follow. All right, here's the sound.
All right, here we go.
Laurel.
Okay, so I hear
Laurel.
I hear Yanny. What do you hear?
I heard Laurel.
Are you kidding me? I can't believe that.
Jeff, you're going to like the explanation because it's going to make you sound young.
Oh, that's good for me.
All right, so here's the explanation. If you remove all the low frequencies, you hear Yanni. If you remove the higher frequencies, you hear Laurel. If your ears emphasize both the higher and lower frequencies, you can toggle between both the sounds. Because the sound is ambiguous and the words Yanni and Laurel are said with similar intonation, the mechanics of your ear decide which one you're predisposed to hear. Younger people who are generally better at hearing higher sounds are therefore more likely to hear Yanni, while older people are more likely to hear Laurel. It also could be dependent on volume and the type of speakers or headphones that people are using to listen to the sound. Headphones that are more tinny will result in Yanni standing out more. Meanwhile, increased volume appears to make it easier to hear Laurel.
I mean, that's all cool and fine. There's reasons for it. But I don't even hear it's like clear as day to me.
Really?
That I hear the word Yanni. I mean, here's the thing for me. Like, I'm not very smart. Anyone that listens to the show knows that. But Yanni and Laurel, like, they're Yanni, Laurel, they don't rhyme. I don't know how. Do it again. I have to hear this again. One more time.
Laurel.
I hear Yanni.
Laurel.
You don't hear Yanni?
Laurel.
You don't hear Yanni?
No.
Laurel.
You hear Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I hear.
I could only hear Laurel the first time, few times I listened to it, and I was like, this is ridiculous. This isn't a stupid thing like that, the dress thing.
Yeah.
And then I came into work that day, because it was Wednesday, I came in to do the show, and I was listening to something else at the same time and checking the sound in the background to get ready for the show, and I heard both at the same time, and it freaked me out.
See, you're like a superhero then. You have like one ear doing one thing and one ear doing the other thing. I mean, so you're like, I mean, does that happen? So you've heard both. Because everybody I've talked to either hears Yanni or Laurel, and I just, that's crazy. And I know there's some scientific thing behind it, and I get it. You just read it to me. And obviously, young people like me hear the word, you know, Yanny. I get that. But that's insane to me.
I'm trying to pull it up on my phone because I'm surprised I hear Laurel. Like, and it could be the rich, you know, speakers or the headphones here. But normally, I struggle to hear really low stuff. It has to be very crisp for me to hear it. Like, I do much better with, you know, high treble tones than I do with bass tones.
It's... Jeez, you know your stuff. You know
I
your
do.
Tones.
I know I can't hear like super
but
low.
But what's
stuff.
Weird for me is that I've heard it on television, I've heard it on the radio, and I've heard it with, I have these earphones on. So, I mean, and I still hear Yanni clear as day. Like, not even like, okay, wait a minute, one more time. Like I hear Yanni, like I'm saying Yanni to you. Do you hear, wait a minute, hold on a minute. Yanni, what did I just say?
Yanni.
I said Laurel. No, I'm just kidding. I said Yanni. All right, let's get away from this. Anyway, 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to tell us what you hear, Yanni or Laurel. But I hear Yanni, he hears Laurel, potato, potato, whatever. And it's nothing like potato, potato, though. It's nothing like it, because potato, potato is potato, potato.
You can mash both of them.
Exactly. Yanni and Laurel are nothing. It's Yanni, which rhymes with nanny, and Laurel, which is, you know, a name.
Laurel.
Laurel and Hardy. Okay? I just don't get it. Anyway, sad news in baseball this week. I think it's sad to hear what's happened to Robinson Cano.
Yeah.
Sad to think that this could happen again. Your take on this, you know, Robinson Cano, 35 years old, arguably one of the best baseball players of this era, I guess. I think he made a huge mistake going to Seattle. I think this would be a bigger deal in the landscape of baseball if he stayed in New York. I've said this since day one. If you look at his numbers last year and the year before, whatever the year was, he had a huge year. If he had that, or the year before last, he was in the 300s. He hit, I think, near 30 home runs. He had over 100 RBIs.
Yeah.
He would have been an MVP candidate if he did that in New York. Being in Seattle, I don't think he was no one even mentioned him.
Right.
You know, I feel like he's a superstar that left and kind of, it's like, you don't even
out
know.
Out into the wilderness.
Exactly. You know, he made such a poor decision professionally to leave. I'm not just saying because he's a Yankee, but to leave New York and to leave a market like that to go to Seattle, I think it's crazy. But more importantly, you know, steroids, he's out 80 games and it completely destroys, truthfully. I mean, let's look at it realistically. I mean, his legacy is over.
Yeah, it's like at this stage in his career, this is the time you would probably expect it, either early or late, if it isn't already ongoing.
Right.
But I mean, the fact that he said he would just accept it and, you know, wasn't gonna fight it tells you, yeah, he got caught.
And here's another reason why you don't sign 10-year contracts. So anyone that's getting ready to sign Manny Machado, anyone that's getting ready to sign Bryce Harper.
Oh, it's a racket.
You know, and again, I'm disappointed in Robinson Cano, and I don't want this to go the wrong way, because I'd say the same thing about Alex Rodriguez and anybody, you know, and Braun and all those guys that have been caught doing these things. We look at this on a basis like, you know, how can they do? They make all this money. They're superstars. But there's a lot of pressure these guys face to keep these numbers up. And Seattle, obviously, you know, knows that he knows in Seattle, Robinson knows that I've got to be a superstar these whole 10 years, that you make decisions that you rationally probably wouldn't make. But the pressure these guys feel, part of me feels bad for Robinson Cano. Because I don't think Robinson Cano is going out there intentionally trying to, you know, beef up. I think Robinson Cano knows that he's got expectations of this 10-year contract and made a horrible mistake. It's sad to hear that.
You guys want to take a call from a friend of ours?
Of course.
This is Jan Underhill.
Oh! Jan from Underhill. Good morning, pal.
Good morning. Good morning. So, really, Mike, it's a question more than it is a comment. I got two things, but does this disqualify Robinson Cano from Hall of Fame contention?
No, I think for the way the writers have gone for all these guys, I think it does. You know, I think it has to until everything comes out. I mean, there's some rumors out there that he didn't know what he was taking. You know, he said what basically A-Rod said, that, you know, he's in the Dominican Republic and doctors prescribed it to him. But it looks like it was a masking agent. But I got to tell you, and I can't imagine him getting in now. I think Robinson Cano was not a first ballot Hall of Famer anyway. And if first ballot Hall of Famers like Barry Bonds and Alex Rodriguez aren't in yet, there's no question that Robinson Cano will not. I can't imagine him getting in.
It definitely holds him up, no doubt. But he pled that like I didn't know, which is
right.
To me a complete bogus argument. Like
that's
like Sammy Sosa forgetting to speak English when they started asking him about his steroids.
That's true.
Right, but the guy puts up numbers. He's a great player. I don't know. Does it really disqualify him? It's a conversation for down the road if he comes back a year from now.
Well, I mean,
300.
But Jan, you can say the same thing about Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds and Ryan Braun, and we can go down a list. I mean, there's all these guys that have been, you know, Rafael Palmeiro and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. I mean, you tell me. Do you think that they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I would find it interesting if he doesn't get in. The same thing with A-Rod. I think that Bonds was the benchmark for like blatant steroid use or not going to the Hall of Fame. I think A-Rod gets in.
Well, hold on a minute though. But Barry Bonds was never proven that he did steroids. I mean, like A-Rod was proven. So the fact that Bonds is
all anecdotal.
Well, exactly, but he's never been proven in. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you're gonna say that, I think all these guys should be in the Hall of Fame. Be truth be told, because I think it's an era, and I think that baseball's full of cheaters. Let's face it. I mean, Gaylord Perry
the best ones weren't the only ones cheating.
Of course,
No doubt.
I think.
My next comment. This is a Giants tie-in. Did you see in the news this week that the Mets had asked Saquon Barkley to come out and throw out the first pitch? And he said, no, I'm going to wait for the Yankees to ask me.
That a boy. I knew I loved Saquon Barkley. You must hate that.
Brutal.
You must hate that.
Brutal. It stings.
What's up with your Mets, too? The back page of the Post last week had a picture of DeGrom and Syndergaard in Yankee uniforms.
Yeah, it's true. Like, at this point, there's a question, and I, as a Mets fan, like, is it time for us to really go fire sale and start to... The Yankees have all these prospects that they don't even have room for.
It's true.
If we traded you DeGrom for Clint Frazier...
Not happening.
Do you have to make that deal?
I can't imagine that. You'd have to put a lot more in. I think DeGrom being 30 years old, he's not, you know, I don't trust the National League pitcher, and I think that Frazier has a lot of upside. I think Frazier's a part of the equation. Guys like Esteban Florial, though, that young kid the Yankees have that's number two on in their depth chart, that might be a guy you could talk about for a guy, but I think the Mets would have to sweeten it up if that was going to happen. But it'd be interesting to see.
I don't know. DeGrom all of a sudden becomes your ace, and you're all of a sudden the favorite to win the World Series if he's at the top, and you got Severino as number two.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. No question about that. But are the Mets going to sell him? Austin, what are the Mets, like 3 or 4 games out of first place right now? I mean, they're right there.
Got to check.
I mean, they're right there.
They were 12-2, and they will be .500 at the end of the day today. So that should tell you, they're an abomination of baseball.
Mets are 21-19, 3.5 games out of first in the NL East.
In the NL East, and you got to believe that Washington looks like they're playing better baseball, are going to take that division over. But right now, you're going to put your hat on Atlanta staying like this all year? You're going to put your hat on Philadelphia being a successful team? I mean, if you're the Mets... I mean, why not go for it? I mean, they're the same team that went 12-2, and you got DeGrom and Syndergaard at the top of your rotation, and you got a guy like Familia at the end that potentially can close a lot of games for you. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd be selling yet if I was the Mets.
At the commercial break, I want you to take a look at their lineup. It is awful. It is disgusting. Jay Bruce is hitting .230. He's got 3 homers and like 15 RBIs. That's our thumper. We stink. Must end the season.
See, Jan is a big Mets and Jets fan, so, you know, he just, as soon as it's the white flag comes out early.
Wow, that's such what a pair.
Don't you want to hear that? What a pair from a Patriots fan over there. You know what I mean? Jan, thanks for the call, brother. Have a great weekend, buddy.
You too. All right. Peace.
All right. Yeah, listen, we segue from Robinson Cano and the steroid piece, you know, to the Mets. I mean, again, the Mets lineup right now may not look very good, But again, you still have some names in there that have some track records.
Right.
Cespedes has got a track record. Frazier has got a track record. Gonzalez has a track record. The guy you're talking about, Bruce, has a track record. You know, Reyes is an older guy. They got the young kid. I think it's Rojas. I think is the I'm trying to think. He's a shortstop or second baseman for the Mets. Anyway, the point is that the Mets have some pieces. Conforto is still there. The Mets have some pieces. They got a really strong back end of the bullpen, or at least a capable back end of the bullpen. And when you got arms in that rotation like Syndergaard and DeGrom, you know. And you know, Matz is a left-hander in that rotation. It's got a lot of upside, I think. Hasn't pitched very well since he got hurt. But, you know, if you're the Mets, I don't know. Do you stop? I mean, do you say, oh, we're going to blow it up now because we're 3.5 games out of first place in a very winnable National League East? I don't know.
Mets lineup last time out with DeGrom pitching. You got Nimmo, Cabrera, Flores, Bruce, Conforto, Gonzalez, Mesoraco, and Rosario in the field.
Rosario's a kid I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, look, it's not great, but when they're all healthy, I mean, it's fairly formidable, you know. And when again, you know, you still win these things with pitching, and you got a DeGrom and you got a Syndergaard. I can't imagine the Yankees giving up a lot for those guys. I mean, I don't know DeGrom. I don't know. I know. First of all, he wouldn't be the ace. Severino's the Yankees.
It also seems crazy to equate the, you know, a team in a race that tight this early as a, just a dumpster fire.
And it's baseball. I mean, it's you know, as they say in the Yankee brand, it's baseball, Susan.
You know, Susan.
You know, that's what it is. I mean, you're going to go through good times and bad times, and the Mets started, I mean, 12-2 season. They start out like unbelievable, and then they hit some bad times. But again, you're in a division, like I said, is very winnable. And again, I think you got to like the Nationals. When you look at what the Nationals bring to the table, you got to expect that they're going to just take off. But if the Mets can, you know, get themselves righted and get healthy, I mean, I think they could be right there. So I'm not saying they're not going to be sellers when it comes time to, you know, for the trade deadline, but I can't imagine the Mets doing it now. Final thoughts on Robinson Cano? What do you think?
What Jan brought up a good point about, you know, whether we're look down the road, legacy, Hall of Fame, right, that sort of thing. I think what he and people of his era, even, you know, maybe A-Rod gets lumped in with that too, the post-Bonds wave of guys that have, you know, pushed the envelope a little too far.
Yeah.
The best thing they have going for them is time. That, you know, by the time, you know, thinking Cano,
well, Robbie, oh, you mean in terms of time of what? If career or time of?
Time removed, like by the time he's eligible for the Hall.
Right, maybe you things
think
have
like the voting constituents of the Baseball Hall of Fame, right, will have turned over, and it, you know, it could be a little more forgiving clientele there.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, now that you can legally bet in baseball, you think Pete Rose should get in there? I think Pete Rose should be in anyway.
I do too. Like Dan Patrick has a great analogy. What he did, he was great as an undergrad and got caught cheating in grad school.
And I'll tell you right now, but you know, we had Richard Justice on this show about a year ago. He's the big writer down in Houston, national writer. He's got a vote. He said he's completely against. I mean, the real diehard baseball, these guys, these diehard baseball writers, they don't want him in. But when you look at the body of work as a baseball player, I mean, Ty Cobb's in, and Ty Cobb was a horrible guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad people that made bad decisions that were a lot worse than betting on a game or two that are in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose is one of the greatest players ever to live. May not be one of the best people ever to live, but he's definitely one of the best players ever to live.
Oh, yeah.
I think Pete's got to be in the Hall of Fame. Totally think he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. But I don't get a vote.
Aaron was trying to shoehorn Tebow with some...
What was he talking about? Wait, because you're wearing a shirt like Tim Tebow?
No, no.
Like Tim Tebow?
Matt's got to bring him up.
Oh, yeah. Good move. Good idea. You're absolutely right. Yeah, bring the man. There you go, Jan. Bring up Tim Tebow. Fix all your problems. I just wish that the Mets would move him to the organization that he'd come here and play in Burlington.
He'd have to get demoted for that to happen.
Well, last year he could have. And that would have been nice.
That would have been
a lot of fun.
That would have been fun.
That would have been great. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Austin's Capitals. Little NHL, because you know me, I love NHL hockey. We're going to talk about the NHL. And we'll still talk about some baseball. The weather's been bad, and now we got people that want to sit in a room and fix that. Get out of my baseball, will you? We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
Patriots haven't moved up in the draft because they know Trace McSorley will still be there at 31.
And Bernie Siplicki.
With the 31st pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the New England Patriots select Sony Michel, running back, Georgia.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
So, I mean, now I hear Laurel. I mean, a second ago, Austin, you play a thing, I hear Laurel. Then you play something else, I hear Yanni. Then you're doing the same thing to me. So now maybe I'm a superhero. Now I'm hearing both.
Up is down, down is up.
It's crazy. cats and dogs living together. Crazy stuff. Hey, the NHL playoffs, rocking and rolling. I mean, as a Caps fan, I'm intrigued now because I think all Caps fans are just like, got to be losing their minds.
I don't like this scenario, but hold on a minute.
But before you explain to me,
shook?
No, because you're okay with them losing now.
I'm not okay with
you
it.
You said to me last week,
I'm at peace with it.
You are the only Capital fan in the world, the country, anywhere that likes the Capitals that has that mentality. Up 2-0 in the conference championship where you get yourself to a Stanley Cup final, and you're 2-2 now, and you're sitting here telling me, yeah, you know, I'm at peace. You are insane.
Am I, though?
Oh, no, you're not. Well, you are a Red Sox fan, a Patriot fan, so, you know. So I mean, you are a little insane.
Game three.
Yeah.
Caps were not good.
Agreed. In a must-win for Tampa, who's a good team.
I missed Game 4 writing the Storm Rushford story.
Then that's good for you.
I caught up afterward.
Yeah.
It was a game. It was, you know, it
competitive.
It was 2-2 for, you know, close to a period's worth of game time.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay scores in the last 10 minutes, and Caps can't get one back, give up an empty netter, so it's 4-2.
Right.
Vasilevsky had, I think, 36, 37 saves. Like,
played great.
He played great. Yeah. And sometimes that happens. I think it's what's really wild is that neither home team has won yet.
It's interesting.
Like, one of them is going to have to do it.
Yeah, to win it, you're going to have to do
Unless you're the Caps, and then you just win all the road games.
655-6672 is the number to call. We're talking some NHL playoffs here. Listen, I will admit, I am the biggest pink hat hockey fan in the world, okay? I don't follow it at all. The only time I start following it is when it gets
Knit caps, though.
Oh, yeah.
It gets cold, chilly. You got no hair.
Exactly. Yeah. So you need to protect yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've had this conversation. The best, you know, rink food. Like, you got to have a cup of soup, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Cup of chili. My pink hat. My Rangers logo on it. Because that's me. And then one thing I kind of like about Tampa, it's got two of my ex-Rangers on that team. You know, Callahan and Girardi.
Right.
Two of my all-time faves, by the way. And what happens? Rangers move them on. And what happens to the Rangers? Look what happens to Tampa. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Look what happens. Even though we did get Martin St. Louis.
Connect the dots.
Who we love Martin St. Louis around here.
Yeah.
And I love them as a Ranger. However, I love Callahan and I love Girardi and now they're gone. So anyway, but I digress here. Does the NHL have, how bad is NBC, how bad are they begging for the Capitals to be in the Stanley Cup final? Because I cannot imagine what the ratings are going to be like if it's the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Vegas Golden Knights. Or the Winnipeg Jets. Shockingly, I actually have a friend that's a big Winnipeg Jets fan, and he said, and he told me this like 5 years ago, and I'm like, the Winnipeg Jets? How are you a fan of the Winnipeg Jets? But I mean, nationally, I can't imagine a Tampa Vegas or a Tampa Winnipeg Stanley Cup final being a big win for the ratings.
I think ideal scenario would be probably Caps versus Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So you get Vegas, DC.
Sure. But more importantly.
You need DC.
You need DC and you need Ovechkin. Like,
because
you need something.
He's polarizing enough that, like, Caps fans obviously are going to watch. Anti-Ovechkin fans might watch, you know, for a little schadenfreude. And he's also, like, he's one of the most entertaining electric athletes of the last 15 years.
Well, yeah, and I think that's...
That alone can bring in outside fans who know this guy hasn't won yet.
Exactly. How? That's the point. Like, I think for me, I'm interested to see if Ovechkin's finally going to get the Stanley Cup that I think he deserves as the kind of athlete he is and the kind of player he's been. But again, like, that's where the NHL just loses it. It's like there's a handful of teams that have, you know, this is the thing about the NHL for me, and I have so many friends that are big hockey fans. I know there's a lot of people listening to the station that are huge hockey fans, and that's great. I mean, hockey's a great sport. I never played it as a kid. I never was into it as a kid. But, like, to me, it's just there's only a handful of teams where there's a lot of interest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's not the Rangers or the Bruins, if it's not the Capitals, you know.
Penguins.
The Penguins, you know, now, right, exactly. And maybe out west, the Kings, maybe. I don't know. Well, I mean, or Montreal, obviously, some of the teams up north, the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's teams, but there just is no – I mean, the average fan is not going to tune in to watch Tampa Vegas Stanley Cup final.
It's a weird thing where a lot of the best markets don't have good teams. So, like, New York City has three chances to have a team in a dog in the fight with the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils.
Right.
You could rope in.
And the Sabres, if you want to throw them in the state.
But, like, that's another thing. Like, the pro franchise in Buffalo doesn't really move the needle nationally.
Right.
You know, you think Ottawa. What connection do people in Texas have to Ottawa?
But can you imagine having a an American League championship or a National League championship series or an NBA, you know, conference championship or the NFC and AFC championships on NBC Sports Network? Having to like, you have to have the sports package to even have the channel. That you have to see, you're surfing around. Like, I'm trying to find the game. And I'm like, where the hell is the game? It took me an hour to find the game.
I had to text my buddy Duke
just to find that out.
I think they'll move some of the games to the big NBC by the time it gets to the cup final. But that's my point.
Like, the final, fine. But can you imagine, like, the American League Championship Series not being on prime time? Can you imagine that?
You got a lot of people that don't know where FS1 is.
Okay, but I agree with that. But FS1 is but I don't think you're going to see an American League Championship Series on FS1. You might see the divisional rounds on FS1. You might see that.
Maybe.
I guess my point is that the NHL just has a casual fan problem. It's a great sport to watch. Playoff hockey is intense.
I think we talked about it last week. I think when there isn't that sort of star wattage behind a series or a team, hockey can get pretty insular. Like where. Right. It's hockey people that are into it, and there aren't a lot of hockey people.
And the Vegas story is a great story, right?
It's insane.
Expansion team. I mean, it's
insane.
And they're from Vegas, which is great. You know, the really only professional team in Vegas, big time.
Yeah,
you know?
they're the first. Like,
yeah, because the Raiders are supposedly going there.
Yes.
Like, can you imagine the Oakland Raiders, Vegas, the Raiders in Vegas, that
Wild
fan base?
Wild West there.
Holy mackerel!
They could turn that franchise around if they do the same thing that the Golden Knights.
You don't even know.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not a hockey guy either. The Golden Knights are doing where basically their practices are even entertaining.
Of course.
If you move this dead Oakland Raiders franchise to a place...
Well, let's not go crazy dead Oakland Raiders franchise. They actually have a great organization. They got a great quarterback and a great team.
If you're not a Raiders fan, diehard, you're not watching a Raiders game unless it's your team.
I completely disagree with that. Are you out of your mind? The Raiders have been must-see TV for a couple years.
Oh, even the seasons they're good. They don't do well.
Since Al Davis with his son in charge, like if you look at that guy, like pictures of that guy... You gotta question his judgment skills.
In terms of what?
I showed a picture of Mark Davis.
I mean, he's not a looker.
I showed a picture of Mark Davis to a coworker who doesn't know anything about football. She's like, "Does he know what a mirror is?"
but you move that team. We'll just forget the dead thing for your sake, Jeff.
Well, wait a minute. No. You open this can of worms about the Raiders. I mean, you don't have to like the Raiders. You can dislike the Raiders. And you can dislike the way the owner looks. Fair enough. I mean, he's not that handsome. But you look at the team on the field going into last season, they're one of the favorites to potentially go to the Super Bowl.
I get that.
And the Raiders still have a fan base, man. Let me just tell you something. I went to a Giants Raiders game four years ago at MetLife Stadium. And I've never seen the Raider Nation comes, buddy boy. There's thousands of them, and they're all over the country.
And they're scary.
They're dressed like Darth
they're
Vader.
They're terrifying.
That's what I'm saying. So I think the brand is very strong. I mean, they haven't been the Raiders of the 70s, you know, but their brand is strong, and they've been one of the favorites going into the league the last couple of years. You got to give them their props.
I think if any team is going to NFL team goes to
it should be the Raiders.
Yes,
because they're insane. I get it.
Yeah, you'll get like a little Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas,
right?
The Hunter S. Thompson vibe there watching those games.
Exactly.
But you get them into a stadium there and you get like the exotic performance arts that the Golden Knights are rolling out. Imagine like the hype that would get in a league like the NFL that's so stiff.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, but I think if the Raiders go to Vegas, I think that's going to be must see TV. I mean, because the Raiders are like a circus act going anyway. I mean, they're a big deal. That's what I mean. Like when you say the Raiders are kind of like a dead franchise, like the Raiders fans, even when they're bad, they go. There really is a Raider. There's a Raider Nation out there.
Oh yeah,
I think
correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, but like the dead franchise. I mean, you think the stadium they play in, the fact that they've been trying to move or trying to get a new stadium for so long that they haven't been, you
so
know.
So the stadium stinks.
The product's not well produced. They've got a good team and they've got good fans, but the product's not well produced.
Well, the product's been super competitive since
2001.
Okay, fair enough. But I think that's the NFL in general in a lot of cases. But I think their facility is not very good. I think that's the only thing that you're saying about the Raiders. Like their facility isn't great. Playing in Oakland is not ideal for an organization like the Raiders. Their facility stinks, and we get that. They're not going to build a new one there. And they've also moved a lot. They were L.A., the Oakland, L.A., Oakland.
Yeah.
So I get that. But to talk about that product and say that it's not – I mean, listen, I love you. You know, dude. I think you're the greatest. But
you're wrong.
But you're wrong in terms of, I think, what the production is. I think that the Raiders have built an organization there. I think with Al Davis moving on and his son coming in now, again – We get it. He's not going to be in Vanity Fair, but I think he's putting forth the right mindset to Chap Dad to bring that Raider Nation and that Raider pride back, you know, and they're close. I mean, the NFL is there's a fine line between being really good and being really bad in the NFL. You Patriot fans don't get that because you haven't been, basically your lifetimes, you've been awesome. Okay, but, you know, the Raiders, I think, are an organization that's coming. I truly believe that.
Hey, you get them some sheen black alternate jerseys, you put them in Las Vegas, I think you get a lot bigger fan base.
I'm all in. Well, first of all, they have a huge fan base, but I'm all in for them to go to Vegas. I think it'd be a great move for them. And I think it would be like going to a show every day when the Raiders play.
Oh,
it'd be
yeah, it's hand in glove. It's real smart.
And it would be good for the Golden Knights. I think the Golden Knights and the Raiders, you know, are both there. I mean, that would be good for that organization as well. And it looks like they're about to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals, and an expansion team could knock off the Winnipeg Jets and go to the Stanley Cup Finals. How crazy this in the world of sports in general. That's crazy.
Yeah, from scratch to, you know, potential title in a year.
That's crazy. And that's great. That's great. And that shows that, you know, that expansion does work. It proves that.
I think it might be I heard a podcast the other day. They were talking about the way building expansion teams has changed. Teams could protect fewer players.
Right.
So the Vegas team could poach some of the better players that they past expansion franchises might not have been able to get. But you push that aside. I think hockey might be one of the few sports where you could build a team from scratch and have them be competitive right away.
Right.
Just the nature of the sport, where it can be fluky. It can be, you know, the margins are very small. Players get hot, all that sort of stuff. And it can, it's very finicky.
So Caps, Lightning tonight. You have like a go-to jersey you're going to?
I got my red Caps shirt.
Yeah.
I'll be wearing that later.
Yeah. What do you expect? You expect the Caps to? I expect them to come out with a win tonight.
Yes.
I think they're going to win. I have a good feeling about the Caps. But then again, I don't watch a lot of hockey, so, you know, that means nothing. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's Hot or Not. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll go. Don't go anywhere.
Better turn up the AC, because it's time for Hot or Not. Powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Evidently, the ownership in Oakland is, if it was hot or not, you guys would deem it not.
Oh, clearly.
You know.
Not, yeah. All right, it is time for Hot or Not. Thanks to Superb Cupcakes in Williston.
Oh, they're good cupcakes, man. I'm telling you
right now. Oh, they are delicious.
Do yourself a favor. Go check them out.
Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft Corners Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They won't disappoint, offering a large variety of regular and mini cupcakes and edible cookie dough daily. That cookie dough.
Oh, yeah. I like the Simply Vanilla cupcake myself. The classic.
Just old number one?
The old number one.
Can't go wrong. Do you do the thing where you split it and then you turn it into like a little...
My wife showed me that. You break the bottom off. You put it out like a giant Oreo. Two bites. Everybody knows the rules. Done.
So good. They're open every day but Monday. Get them early as hours are subject to change if they sell out.
That just blew my mind.
Are you telling me you didn't realize that? So when you get a cupcake or even... Yeah, get a cupcake. Yeah. You take the bottom off, you know, and you put it on top and you hold it like an Oreo and done.
It's like a whoopie pie,
I get
fluffier.
That. Yeah. No, yeah. It's
delicious.
I love the innovation. That's
it's very smart.
Oh, wow, it's good.
Mark Davis came up with that. Just saying.
Now that respect.
I take it back. They're not a dead franchise.
Go ahead.
Celtics will complete the sweep against the Cavaliers. Hot or not?
I'm going to take that. I'll say not. I think Cleveland does get. I think Cleveland gets one. I think the Celtics win in five.
You're sticking to your gentleman sweep.
But listen, I just when you look at, I mean, but again, I could see them sweeping them as well. When you look at Cleveland, I don't think they have enough. I don't think LeBron has. I mean, no, I don't think any player could carry one team the whole way like Cleveland, like he did throughout these other series. And the Celtics just have too much. And I don't think the Celtics played very well in game two and still beat them up pretty good. So I don't think that's Sweep is a big deal, but I can see Cleveland getting one, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Also not hot on that. I'm much closer to your five-game prediction than I was before, but definitely not four games.
Yeah, I think tonight. I mean, I think tonight will be a big game for Cleveland. You expect to get their best.
All right, so between drafting Baker Mayfield and the general off-season rebuild, the Browns' Hard Knocks season is must-watch TV.
Go ahead.
Hot. Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be great. And I think the Browns are an up-and-coming franchise, an up-and-coming organization. They're going to be in the playoffs this year. So I think they're going to be a team that's going to be there for a while, I'm telling you.
And now we got to watch to see if Kyle Kelly swears on national television.
Yeah, okay. And that's a must-watch TV now, just see Kyle Kelly.
That was an OG hot or not question, by the way. Are the Browns going to make it to the playoffs this year?
Oh, hot, hot, hot. I think the Browns have what it takes. If they brought in the offensive pieces, they definitely have an offensive line that's strong and one of the best. I think last year they were arguably one of the best in football, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You got a guy in Tyrod Taylor that is capable of winning football games. You got like I just said a second ago, the defense is top notch. You've got playmakers all over the field. And I think I think the AFC is down. So if there's ever a team that can go from terrible to playoffs, it's the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not on that bandwagon with you.
Well, that's okay.
They're at least a year away.
I mean, and you could be right, and maybe they are, but I think when you look at the AFC overall, I think the Browns have a great chance to get themselves
in the playoffs. You're just emboldened by that 5-game Celtic prediction, and now they're looking like
bold.
World beaters.
All of a sudden, I'm like Jimmy the Greek over here.
Feels like Nostradamus
exactly.
or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's me, Nostradamus. Yanni.
Nostrabaldus.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
This one takes some sound prefacing just so that we get sort of the general feel on Mr. Luka Doncic, who's the subject of this hot or not.
Didn't matter if it was Antetokounmpo, Porzingis, or even Dirk Nowitzki. No team, no player has ever done what he's doing. The best comparison I can give you is he's a combination, because he's not a great athlete, and that's the question. He's a combination of Gordon Hayward and Manu Ginobili. He's got Hayward's athletic ability, which obviously is good enough to be a star in the league. He's got Manu Ginobili's brain for the game, which is, that's a high compliment, I think, to give somebody.
So, Eurostar Luka Doncic will go first overall in the NBA draft.
Hot. Good. Yep, I'm taking it.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's the only sure thing. I think these Euro players come over. I think they're better prepared for the NBA quicker than the kids that come out of college. I know that we've seen some players. Tatum is a great example with the Celtics that came right out. A kid that came out after his freshman year at Duke and made an impact. But I think if you're looking to make an impact quickly, he's the kid. And I think if he should thank anybody, it's Porzingis. Because, I mean, if there's been a Euro player that's come out lately, you know, there's always been, like, the crowd will boo when they hear their team takes them, and the Knicks did the same thing, but Porzingis has proven that they're there. And I think if this kid is as good as they say he is and all of the intangibles are there, I think you got to take him.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think, like, you see it in other sports, too, where these kids grow up playing a sport at a very high level, much higher, like, against men.
Yeah.
Like, at UVM with their Icelandic soccer players.
Perfect.
That come over out of, you know... For college,
yeah.
they're coming over. They're also older because they finish high school later. It all adds up.
Yeah, and I think for an organization like the Suns that need to turn it around now, and you have the number one pick you can't miss on, I think he's the guy you got to go with.
Can they keep tanking?
Probably.
Legalized sports gambling will save NASCAR.
You know, I don't know what to say here. I don't think NASCAR needs saving. I mean, I think NASCAR has its own fan base. I mean, I know that it may not be, a lot. There may not be passing NASCAR fans, but I know that NASCAR fans are pretty passionate. I think I don't think there's a problem with it. Obviously, you don't want to see people. So I'm going to say hot. I mean, I'm going to say obviously. I think people are doing it anyway. You know, I mean, obviously, you don't want to see people losing money in terms of losing all their money in betting. But I say hot, but I'm not sure that NASCAR has a problem in terms of that.
You get 100,000 people at every race. I don't think they have a problem. I think what the legalizing sports gambling would save would be media ratings.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing I worry about with the sports gambling thing is like what you saw with umpires and players. I mean, there was a big article on this week in the New York Post about Ron Artest back in being approached when he was at St. John's about throwing games.
Yeah.
That's where you kind of worry about the integrity of the game. But I think overall, it's people's money. They can make their own decision and make it legal. What's the big deal?
The Rockets will take a 2-1 lead in Game 3 against the Warriors.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. You like Houston's talent, but they're such a their whole offense is predicated on one on isolation matchups.
Yeah,
their whole game is based on if Harden and Paul and Ariza and those guys can get their own shots and create. And you just look at a Golden State team that, number one, they're being doubted, and when you kick a dog like that, I mean, those guys are awesome. I mean, they have so much talent. I can't imagine it, especially with the way they play. I think Golden State's going to win this thing in five as well.
And you look at the difference in 3-point shooting game one to game two for Golden State.
Right.
They went from like 40% to 30%.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to keep shooting 30% from deep.
Especially at home. I mean, you got to like them at home. So, I'm not on that either.
Not even if they keep dogging Steph Curry like they did in game two?
I mean, and that may
may happen, but there's going to be adjustments that are made on the other end. But people are, and again, you know, Steph Curry is being dogged, and he may not be 100% healthy coming off the knee injury, so we get all that. But you are loaded on that team with other players, and there's so much going on with them. And I think Kerr's a really good coach. I know that Houston's made the adjustment on him, but I think Kerr will make the adjustment on them.
Fair enough. OBJ will sign a big money deal with the Giants by the end of OTAs.
Oh, God, OBJ.
I will say vote in this, too.
Yeah, I mean, I will say not at the end of it, but I will say they're going to be closer. I mean, he really is being, and as critical as I've been to Odell Beckham Jr. over the years here, he really is being a good Giant. I don't know if the signing of Saquon Barkley is a good sign for him. He's obviously, since it happened, he's been the prototypical Giant. He's been coming to the non-mandatory events. He's going to be coming to OTAs. I think that's a good thing. So I don't know if it'll be after that's over with, but I think it'll be close, and I think he'll be signed. I think there's no question the Giants will sign him.
You're too close to it, so I'm on board with whatever.
All right, sounds good to me. That's the first time anyone said that to me before.
Either Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward will be out of Boston by next season.
Not hot. They're both there. They got unfinished business now. They got to show that they're worth it.
What's wrong with you, Celtic fans? So not. I mean, they're two of the best players in basketball. Kyrie Irving's arguably one of the top four or five players in the league, if not top three or four players in the league. And Hayward's it's going to be a star there. I mean, the Celtics have so much depth, though. I don't understand Celtic fans. They look at this little piece of success, and they're great. Don't get me wrong. And you're going to get rid of two of the best players in basketball? Come on.
I think it's more because they're also Patriots fans. They see, you know, what the Patriots do with guys who are coming off bad injuries who are costing them a lot of money.
Is Kyrie coming off a bad injury? I think Kyrie's coming off a fairly, minuscule
injury.
But
it's a knee injury.
His problem is he's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. You're going to get rid of him after this year. And I think Hayward is obviously healing. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine you getting rid of those two guys. I'll tell you, you shouldn't get rid of those two guys because with those two guys makes you the favorite. I mean,
easily.
What's your, and then they're young guys. They're not old guys. I don't know. And you got a lot of depth. And you got, really, honestly, what Danny Ainge has done in Boston is spectacular. You have to give him so much credit. It's amazing what he's done.
Nesson needs a better fill-in for Jerry Remy.
Oh, my God. Hot. I don't know if you listen to it. The Yankees were off this week, so
Nesson.
Keep your friends close, your enemies closer. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So watching, and they had Johnny Gomes filling in for the Remdog.
I heard bad things.
Oh, my God. Listen, I don't know Johnny Gomes personally, but who's making the decisions at Nesson? I don't get it. And then when you lose him, you got to have Dennis Eckersley.
Eck isn't that good.
I mean, I'm just telling you. And, you know, Dave, I got my own problems with Dave O'Brien, so I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of muting going on in the Paul House when I have Nesson on. A lot of it. That's why I hate Yankee Red Sox series, because I got to listen to it on Nesson. I can't take it. I hate it. I can't say, I watch the games in mute half the time because I can't listen to these two guys. I can't do it.
I'll go hot on that too. I think.
Why don't they bring in Austin Danforth to fill in for the Remdog?
Oh, I don't know enough about baseball.
Okay,
man.
You do just fine.
I don't know. I've done color for soccer games before. I don't think I could do baseball.
If you listened to Johnny Gomes or Dennis Eckersley, you'd realize you could do anything you wanted with the Red Sox. Those guys don't know what they're talking about either.
I think they know what they're talking about. They don't know how to talk about it.
Okay, I don't even know if they talk about it. All right, so what do you say? I say hot. They need to do something at Nesson.
I'm hot too. It's and as infrequently as Remy is in the booth, like it's. Oh wait, where's Remy today? Like yeah. when it's always like who's this voice? Like
right.
That inconsistency is not good for the broadcast.
It isn't, but you got to get Remy's battling cancer as well.
Right.
And he is, and again, you know, whether you're a Red Sox fan or a Yankee fan.
I enjoy Remy.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the Phil Rizzuto for me in my era when I was growing up on Yankee broadcast, having him being the color commentator. So, yeah, the Nesson's got to do something. Either that or Remy's like, you're going to put the worst dude on you can because I don't want anyone to think that's better than me. They're like, we're going to put the worst guy on so everybody wants Remy back. That might be what's happening.
What about our own Rich Haskell?
Oh, but I'll be all in for Rich Haskell to be on that. Rich Haskell should be doing the color commentary for the Red Sox games. He should be calling the Red Sox games, if you want to know my opinion. Rich Haskell's a talent. Jack Healy down in Rutland, he should be calling the games for the Red Sox. And he should have been there. He had a chance for that. He didn't take the job years ago.
Back in the day.
It either should be Jack. I'll tell you what we should do. Jack Healy and Rich Haskell together calling Red Sox games, and I could at least watch it when they're playing the Yankees.
That would be pretty fun if,
how's
if
that?
Every state got to send their broadcasters for one game a year,
that
just
would be
like a tryout.
Well, I'll tell you now, Dave O'Brien and the rest of the crew would be kicked out. Nobody want them back.
It would be a day off for those guys.
Yeah, and they shouldn't come back. Let Jack Healy and let Rich Haskell do it together. One day one does play-by-play, the other one does color commentary, the next day vice versa.
We're making dreams come true now.
That's what we do here at Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN. Okay, is that it?
That was Hot or Not.
Hot or Not, another successful. And listen, don't forget Hot or Not. Get out there to Superb Cupcakes. Help them out, man. That is a mean cupcake, I'm going to tell you.
And they got all kinds of different flavors. And they're great people. So go check them out, Hannah and Joe. All right, guys, take a quick break. You just keep playing the hits. The old, this is way before you. Hold on a minute. Eazy-E.
Yeah, love me some Eazy.
Yeah, you like your Eazy. All right. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this show. Got a nice story about J.J. Watt, too, I want to get to. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul.
But they score points, Burn. Like, they're still scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, that's fine.
And to me, in the NBA, if you can score enough points, you can beat anybody.
And Bernie Siplicki.
Well, if you score enough points in any game, you're going to win.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN.
Listener here, Glenn from Moncton, sent us a text here. He said, Celtic fans aren't saying this, but the media is trying to start a controversy, and who's complaining about Red Sox commentators to make them look a whole lot better, the Celtics.
Hmm.
And then he also wrote, they're a lot better than having to suffer listening to John Sterling.
That's true.
I mean, I would tell you right now that I would say that Dan O'Brien versus John Sterling would be that's a toss-up. Or Dave O'Brien, whatever his name is.
Not close. Come on.
Oh, come on. Dave O'Brien is if you're not a fan of the Red Sox, he'd drive you batty.
Sterling is a cartoon character.
Yeah, but he's a legend.
He's legendary because he's such a cartoon.
Oh, come on. You got to give him a little bit of prop. I will say he gets a little, he drives me crazy a lot as a Yankee fan, but.
You know, Susan.
That's baseball, Susan. I've been trying to get him on the show for a while. I really have, and
his not now.
And his producers are just like, you know, they got games, but I'm going to get him eventually because, you know what, I feel like he's feeling a lot of stress now because he has to come up with a home run call for everybody. Like, that's like that's all they care about in New York. As soon as Stan got there, it was what was the home run call going to be? And by the way,
it's bad.
It's bad. You got to do better than that. Especially a guy that's going to hit 50 home runs a year for you.
I don't feel bad for that guy that painted himself into that corner the way with the colors he used to paint himself there. It's, come on.
Typical Red Sox fan over there.
No, typical anybody
Sox fan
not
right over
New York
there.
Yankee fan.
Oh, stop it. No, I got to agree with you. Sterling is a little bit obnoxious, but I'm trying to get him on. I appreciate he's still a legend in the game. He's still a legend. Hey, let's quick shout out J.J. Watt. You know, what a phenomenal individual this guy is. We know we had the school shooting yesterday in Texas. Very sad, very tragic. And he is volunteering and he wants to pay for the funerals for the people that lost their lives. What a special guy J.J.
Watt
is.
Yeah, he continues to stack goodwill by the ton.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's a special individual, you know. And you don't look at him as he wants to do for people, and that speaks volumes for professional athletes.
Absolutely, he's constantly doing the right thing.
Yeah, good man. So good for you, J.J. Watt. And so sorry to hear about the terrible thing that happened in Texas yesterday. All right, I want a special shout out to Kyle Kelly, assistant of football operations for the Cleveland Browns. It's always fun to talk to Kyle, Rutland native, making it big with an NFL franchise and getting ready to be a superstar with Hard Knocks.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't work blue too much.
No, that's right. And then Jordan Greer, NBA editor for Sporting News, interesting perspective on the rest of the NBA playoffs. I think we're going to see some great games, huge game tonight, which you can hear on The Zone, our sister station here, starting 8 o'clock, Celtics at Cleveland.
Yeah, is it another case where they let LeBron try and beat him on his own?
Yeah, and I think, the real question here is, you know, LeBron's going to get his. Is anybody else going to help him? And can the Celtics really put a stranglehold on the series? It'll be interesting. I think tonight, if they're going to win a game, if Cleveland's going to win a game, it's going to be tonight, I think. On the other side of the spectrum, we've got the two teams in the West, two of the best teams. You and I think kind of the same here. I think it's Golden State's to lose.
Yeah, when you look at the players they put out there, that starting five is among the best that's ever played the sport.
And obviously, we're one win away for the Vegas Golden Knights getting to the Stanley Cup Finals. You talk about, they're only a year and a half old, and they're going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
It's a hockey town, man.
But Winnipeg, don't sleep on the Winnipeg Jets. Don't sleep on them. I'm just telling you right now. They got a good logo, too. Like Winnipeg.
They both have fuego logos.
Fuego. This is why who you are. And the Caps in Tampa. I mean, this is a big game tonight. I mean, you're going to be wearing your red Caps jersey. You're going to be fired up.
Yep.
Capitals 2-2 with Tampa Bay. We'll see what happens
there.
Fingers crossed, Austin. Again, Austin, great article, about Austin. I'm sorry, about Storm Rushford.
Yep.
The baseball player for CVU. Check it out in the Free Press today. It's an amazing story. If you want your kids to read something and find someone to look up to, Storm is your guy. Great job with that. It's in the Free Press today. You can do it online or you can just go buy it.
Go to your old store.
Buy the paper. Keep reading it. BurlingtonFreePress.com. Bookmark it.
That's right. And it's and of course, the great Austin Danforth wrote that. Okay, guys, take a take. I can't even talk. I'm fired up.
Get you out of here.
See what happens? It gets because this room goes.